Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
The Bible makes reference to the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Bible mentions the law of Moses and the law of Christ. Well, what is the difference between the two? If we do not understand the distinction between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, between the law of Moses and the law of Christ, then we will not be able to ascertain the will of God for our lives today. It is of utmost importance for us to know the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Because many people do not understand the difference between these two covenants, you will hear them make statements like what Susan Snyder of Trinity Lutheran Church in Madison, Wisconsin, said to her congregants. She said, and I quote, "Yes, it's true that the Bible says some nasty things about homosexuality. It's also true that the Bible has passages that prohibit men from cutting their hair and that forbid anyone from wearing mixed fiber clothing or planting two different kinds of seed in their fields or eating shellfish. The Bible also commands slaves to obey their masters, parents to stone unruly children, and upholds as heroes of the faith men with multiple wives and concubines." End of quote. In other words, she is saying, since the Bible contains laws that we no longer abide by, we can then disregard what the Bible says about homosexuality. Well, the question is, why do we no longer observe those laws that have to do with prohibiting men from cutting their hair, or wearing mixed fiber clothing, or requiring stoning of unruly children? Why don't we as Christians observe these laws today? Well, we don't observe these laws because they are a part of a law, the law of Moses, that was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross of Christ. A failure to understand the distinction between these laws leads people to make arguments like that of Susan Snyder. And sometimes, in my discussions with people about why it is unscriptural to use mechanical instruments of music in worship to God, they will respond by saying, "Well, David used mechanical instruments of music in worship, and the Bible even says, praise him with the lute and harp, praise him with stringed instruments and flutes," Psalm 150, verses 3 and 4. But the question is, under what covenant and under what law did God enjoin the use of these instruments of music in worship to Him? Well, it was under the Old Covenant, the law of Moses, that these instructions were given. These instructions concerning mechanical instruments of music in worship are not given in the New Testament to the Lord's church. A failure to understand the distinction between these two covenants and the laws of these covenants has caused a great deal of confusion in the religious world. But the Lord has made it clear in His Word that there is a distinction between the Old and the New Covenants, between the law of Moses and the law of Christ. And I want to look at what the Bible says about this distinction and show that the Old Covenant vanished away and that the law of that covenant, which is the law of Moses, was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross, and that now we're under a new covenant, the law of Christ. Well, first of all, even in the Old Testament, God promised that He would one day give a new covenant to His people, a covenant that would be different from the one given to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. Look with me in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 and 32. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord." Now, God did make a covenant with the children of Israel when He led them out of the land of Egypt. That was the covenant that He made with them at Mount Sinai. And God gave them the law of that covenant, which included the Ten Commandments. It was the law of Moses. Look in Exodus chapter 34, verses 27 through 28. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. But, according to Jeremiah, in his prophecy, there would come a time when God would make a new covenant with them. And this new covenant would not be according to the covenant he made with them at Mount Sinai. It would be a different covenant. Now, this prophecy of Jeremiah was fulfilled when Jesus came. When Jesus came and died on the cross, he dedicated a new covenant. His blood is called the blood of the new covenant in Matthew 26, verse 28. And so Jesus dedicated the new covenant by the shedding of his blood. Well, what happened to the covenant that God made with Israel at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments? Well, the Hebrew writer said that God has made that covenant old or obsolete. After quoting the prophecy of Jeremiah that God would make a new covenant, the Hebrew writer then says in Hebrews 8, verse 13, in that he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. And that is what happened to that covenant and to the words of that covenant. They vanished away. And this is the reason we call that covenant the Old Covenant. It is because there is now a new covenant that has been dedicated by the blood of Christ. The old covenant is no longer in force. And the law of that old covenant, which is the law of Moses, was taken out of the way when Jesus died on the cross. Look with me in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Now, the handwriting of requirements in this passage is referring to the law of Moses given to the children of Israel. Handwriting indicates it was a written document, and it was a document of requirements or ordinances or decrees. Well, this was true of the law of Moses. And verse 16 of this passage lists some of those laws, such as laws regarding festivals, the new moons, and Sabbaths, which were part of the law of Moses. And so, I know Paul is talking about the law of Moses in this passage when he says that it was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. This law is described here as being against us, contrary to us. It was against us because it could not save us from our sins. It could only bring guilt and condemnation. Unlike the ministration of grace, wherein Christ provides forgiveness and liberty through his sacrifice, the law of Moses was a, quote, ministration of death, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 7. And Paul says that Jesus has wiped it out. He says that Jesus has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus' death on the cross was the means by which the law of Moses was taken out of the way. In effect, Christ erased the law of Moses as far as its authority is concerned. The law of Moses is no longer binding. Now, since we are not under the law of Moses, that does not mean we're not under any law. As we mentioned earlier, Jesus, by his blood, dedicated a new covenant, a new testament. And this new testament came into effect after the death of Jesus. Hebrews 9, verses 16 and 17 says, "For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives." Jesus is the testator of the New Testament. By means of his death, this New Testament came into effect. We are now under a new law, the law of Christ, a New Testament. Hebrews 7 and verse 12 says, "There was a change of the law." Here in Hebrews chapter 7, The Hebrew writer is proving that there was a change in priesthood when Jesus came. You see, under the law of Moses, the Levitical priesthood was in force. But it was prophesied that the Christ who would come would be a priest after the order of Melchizedek, Psalm 110, verse 4. Well, now that Jesus has come and is a priest after the order of Melchizedek, there has been a change in the priesthood. And since there is a change in the priesthood, there is of necessity a change in the law. Look at Hebrews 7, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise according to the order of Melchizedek, and not be called according to the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, of necessity there is also a change of the law. And so the law of Moses is now no longer in force. We are under the law of Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 21, that he was not without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. You see, Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son. So God speaks unto us through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is now the law of Christ. Galatians 6 and verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It is also called the law of liberty in James 2 and verse 12. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. Now, it is not called a law of liberty because we're liberated from law, but it is that the law provides liberty, liberty from the bondage of sin. Now, we're not under the law of Moses, but we are under law, the law of Christ. Therefore, we do not go to the Old Testament to find God's will for Christians today. That is the reason we do not offer animal sacrifices or burn incense in our worship to God. That is the reason that we do not use mechanical instruments of music in our worship to God. Those practices were a part of a covenant that we are not under. Those practices were a part of a law that was taken out of the way, nailed to the cross. And when people charge us of being inconsistent when we teach that the practice of homosexuality is sinful, but do not observe those laws that prohibit the eating of certain meats or prohibit men from cutting their hair, well, we say they have failed to see the biblical distinction between the law of Moses and the law of Christ. The law of Christ includes the prohibition to the practice of homosexuality, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. But it does not prohibit the eating of certain meats or the cutting of men's hair. Those laws are a part of the law of Moses that was taken out of the way. And so we can see then the importance of understanding the distinction between the law of Christ and the law of Moses, and understand that one is binding and the other is not. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. You may have a question about something that we have said today, and if so, we would like to hear from you. Also, if you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, we would be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Now, there are three ways that you may ask your questions or make your request. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. That's FIDNET.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. If no one is there to answer, just leave your question on the answering machine or leave your name and telephone number and we'll get back with you. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You are invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7, The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.